God will often use difficulties to prepare us for our destiny.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant, looking at the life of Joseph, Jacob's favorite youngest son, continues his 4 points on how, despite challenges and obstacles that threaten to derail the amazing plan God has for the life of every believer, you might have an incredible journey from dream to guaranteed fulfillment yourself when, like Joseph, you trust and honor the dream giver himself. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of Discovering Your God-Inspired Dreams.
My young friends, don't let anyone talk you out of a dream that's too just because it's big. Make sure, however, that this is a dream that God is inspiring and putting in your heart. Listen, for when God inspires you and plants a dream in your heart, pursue it, amen. Pursue it. Now make sure, double check and make sure this is really God speaking and not your pride. Because sometimes pride makes me, I want to be like Mike. So everybody was back in the Michael Jordan days. Everybody wants to be like Mike, and everybody's trying to play basketball like Mike. But I came to find out that even though a lot of people were trying, there was what? Only one Michael Jordan. Am I right about that? Write this in your notes. If a family member or friend tries to hijack God's plan for your life, don't retaliate, for God can turn what they meant for evil to bring you good. We'll find that out in the life of Joseph. We must learn to forgive. And sometimes as you look back over your life, you can think of instances where somebody in your family tried to hurt you. May I encourage you, if you're still holding on to that, let it go. Amen. We've got to learn to forgive. For when we continue to honor and obey God, what others meant for evil, God will use for good. Amen. Despite what his brothers had done, Joseph forgave them. Here's the third thing I want you to add to your notes. God will often use difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. There are two important points, subpoints here that I don't want you to miss. Here's the first. God often uses trials to train us. Did you know that? God often uses trials to train us. Back in Genesis 37, Joseph may have thought he was ready for his destiny, but he was nowhere ready. You see, back in the passage we just read, Joseph was not ready. For at that time, Joseph clearly had a big problem with pride. Joseph was his daddy's favorite son, and he took advantage of that. You know, those of us who have brothers. How many of you have brothers? Any brother? Those of us who have brothers know we're not to tattletale on them. I only have 2 brothers, no sisters. But you know, if I knew something about Richard, he's not here this morning, I didn't run to my father, my mother, and tell them why Richard needed a punishment. I don't know if he was as kind to me as I was to him. Genesis 37:2 tells us that Joseph gave his father a bad report about his brothers. And look what Joseph chose to wear when he was sent to visit his brothers. Look at verse 23. He was wearing the tunic of many colors. He knew his brothers were out in the field taking care of dad's animals, and they would have their work clothes on. But Joseph showed up in his Armani coat of many colors. Joseph was clearly not ready to be prime minister of Egypt. the world's greatest civilization at that time. But God was going to use numerous trials to train him. And listen to me good. God will often use difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. So if you find yourself right now, you thought God had a big plan for you, but you're passing through drama, chill. And hold fast to God. And determine, oh God, is there something in my life that you are trying to work on? Because God will chisel you. Amen. And a chisel. Nobody ever hit me with a chisel, you know. But I have a feeling chiseling is painful. Am I right about that? But God will use challenges. What a shame. So many preachers of the gospel tell us this baloney that when you come to Jesus, nothing, all the problems, it's just a good life. It's a smooth ride to heaven. It's a lie. If that was true, God would have to apologize to poor Joseph, wouldn't he? God would have to apologize for the tough times he went through. So young people, teenagers, the fact that you're going through hard times sometimes means if you know you're not living in sin and walking in sin and you're still experiencing pain, God is likely up to something big in your life because he's preparing you. He often uses difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. Turn with to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Verses 3 to 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. This is when he's now the second in command of Egypt and his brothers are there in front of him. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? Boy, I tell you, that's a question, isn't it? Can you imagine? You don't even know what has happened. That must have been part of the pain too, of all of this. I don't even know what has happened to my daddy. Is he still alive? Is my daddy still alive? His brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. What a perspective. God sent me. Sometimes the tough places we're in is because God has put us there for a purpose. He is preparing us. God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. God has big plans for you and for your family, and he has sent me ahead. Yes, I have suffered, but God sent me ahead to prepare, to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Amen. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler through all the land of Egypt. As Joseph revealed himself to the same brothers who sold him into slavery, he said, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Here's something we should never forget. So please write this down. God does not waste our pain. God does not waste our pain, but will often use painful trials to train us for our destiny. Amen. But here's something else I want you to point out. God often uses trials not only to train us for our destiny, He uses trials to test us. There's a song Linda Randall sings that says, some of you have heard it, life is easy when you're up on the mountain, but what? The things change when you're down in the valley. Life is easy. I was about to sing it, but I think I'll hold back. It's great when we're on top of a mountain. I'd sing it if you would start it off. It's great when we're on top of a mountain, but it's no fun when we're in the valley of trials and testing. But friends, no matter where God has you right now, are you with me this morning? He wants you to know, write this down. The God on the mountain is still what? God in the valley. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, I can talk from experience. I've been on a mountain or two, but thank God I've experienced the valley. And I've experienced that this God, who was God on the mountain, is the same God in the valley. And His plan for me has not changed. And sometimes it's when He has you in the valley that you actually start recognizing His will and His call on your life. Sometimes it's not when you're on the mountain. Sometimes it's when He has you in the place of pain and heartache that He suddenly reveals to you His plan. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. I've heard people ask, where is God when life hurts? Joseph may have asked that question, but he quickly found out where God was. And you can read when you get home, Genesis 39, 2 and 3, and Genesis 39, 19 to 23. I won't read them now for sake of time. So where was God? He was right there with Joseph, working out His perfect plan. And the story of Joseph is one of the most mind-blowing stories in the Bible. Have you read it? I tell you, we had a wonderful time. We just finished the book of Genesis in our Bible study. It took us pretty much a year or so, to a year and a half. What a wonderful study we had. We're going to start Exodus coming up. Those who want to join us can join us when the connections resume. He was right there with him. What a mighty God we serve. Hebrews 13:5 assures us that God will never leave nor forsake His children. So even in our darkest valley. Oh, I know there's somebody here or there's somebody listening online who you're experiencing the dark valley right now. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can cling to Him. Amen? We can cling. Sister, cling. Right now in your valley, cling. We can cling to Him. 3-year-old Beth was afraid of the dark. So as Mom was putting her to bed, she started feeling a bit fearful. But when Mom turned off the light and she got a glimpse of the moon shining through the window, she asked, "Mommy, is the moon God's light?" Her mom said, "Yes, honey, the moon is God's light." Beth then asked, "Is God going to turn off His light and go to sleep?" Mom replied, "No, dear. God never goes to sleep." Beth responded, "Well, since God is going to stay awake, there's no sense both of us staying awake." Having said that, Beth closed her eyes and went to sleep. Can we learn a lesson from Beth? God never sleeps. And He will never leave us. There's no need for both of us to stay awake. There's no need for me to keep fretting and worrying. I can turn my problems over to Jesus and rest in Him. Can you do that? Can we do that? Turn our problems over to Him and rest in Him. Well, first, God has big dreams for every Christian. Second, we need not lose hope if our dream gets hijacked. Third, God will often use difficulties to prepare us for our destiny. And fourth, and here's the final point, it may have some sub-points, but here's the fourth point. I want to leave you with four keys to discovering your God-inspired dreams. Here's the first key. Make a total commitment to following the Lord. That is central. Joseph was only 17 when he was sold into slavery, but he was determined to live for God. So in Genesis 39, when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, you remember that part of the story? Can you imagine? Oh, we could go off on a tangent here just for a minute, but I better stay back on track. 17 years old, the woman tried to seduce him. Joseph said to her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin is not cute, young man. Sin is not cute. It is wickedness. Grab a hold of that. And let us remember that even when we are away from mom and dad, and therefore we believe we can do some stuff that mom and dad would not be proud of, always remember that mom and dad may not be seeing, but my God is watching all the time." Amen? So let's stop the excuses and stop believing we're too young to get serious about the things of God. Just being saved is not enough. And sadly, too often in Christian homes, young people grow up thinking just being saved is enough. But if all you are is saved, you are missing God's big plan for your life. God has a big plan for your life. It's good to be saved and on your road to heaven. But don't miss out on God's plan for your life. I am so thankful that I can look back and see so many ways that God has made a difference and has used me. And young people, I challenge you, seize a hold of the things of God and make a determination to live for Him. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's put that verse on the screen so we can see it in front of us. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What an incredible thing it is to experience God's perfect will for your life. Second, make a total commitment. Number one, ask God to reveal His will to you. Saul hated Christians and was having them killed. But the very day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he asked, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Have you asked that question? Teenager, young adult, older person, have you asked God that question? If not, I'm going to encourage you this morning to ask that question. You say, "Pastor, you have no idea, I'm in my 80s. Have you asked God that question? Lord, what will you have me to do? It's nice to come to church, but we need to ask God to reveal His will to us. Lord, what will you have me to do? Third, act on each step of His plan that He reveals to you. Amen. Act on each step of his plan. A few years ago, a young man from Maryland called and he asked, Pastor Brian, why doesn't God show me his entire plan for my life so I can avoid making any mistakes? I said to him, Mark, if God told us his entire plan, we might not be able to handle it. Do you realize that? If you knew all the challenges that were ahead, you mightn't be ready yet. But all the way, my Savior leads me. And when that real tough one comes, he has already prepared us. We can depend on him. We can depend on him. In case you didn't get it, we can depend on him. My record has not stuck. We can depend on him. Act on each step of his plan that he reveals to you. 17-year-old Joseph had no idea what the future held for him. But he was confident the God who knows the future was totally trustworthy. As a result, he willingly entrusted his life to him. Are you willing to do that today? Here's the fourth and final point I want to bring. One, make a total commitment to following the Lord. Ask God to reveal his will to you. Act on each step of his plan that he reveals. And fourth, ensure you're really born again. We must be a part of his family. Are you sure you're saved? You know, every now and then I meet someone who for years thought they were saved. They hang out with the Christians. They will tell everybody they're Christians. But somewhere along the line, they realize, I never really. You know, one of the things that I always want to bring up, because sometimes in Sunday school, teacher will say to you, just pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. And sometimes kids do that. But sometimes when they do that, they didn't do something that's very important. They never repented. They never talked to God about acknowledging to God they're sinners. And determined by God's grace, God, I'm turning from my sin. Perhaps you're one of those. You grew up in church, you grew up in Sunday school, but as you look back over your life, you can't determine a time when you actually made a decision to turn from sin and to turn to the Lord and ask him to come into your heart and life. And my friend, if that's you and you're not sure, you can't remember a time when that happened, I'm going to ask you to make sure right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me right now and we'll pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Could work in our hearts. For the person who is not sure they're saved, I pray you may bring them to salvation today. And for those who are saved, speak to our hearts that we may be willing to make a total commitment of our lives to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.